Have I not? Silver and gold have I not. What you want and you think that you need, I don't have it for you. But I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. What I have for you, if you receive it, you can get up and walk. So my advice to you this morning is, silver and gold have I not. But what I have to give you this morning, if you take it, whatever you came in here with, it's already gone. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning because I want to read the word of God, and it's only a couple of scriptures. It's Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 38 to 42. And as we read this chapter, I'm telling you, I was shouting inside of my bones this morning because of some of the songs of praise that we sang. It's because that was confirmation that that's the word of God that's needed today. Amen? So if you have it, say amen. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many other things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The King James says, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Oh, hallelujah. I need you to repeat this with me. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. No, don't say the good part. Say that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Praise the Lord. Now, we know that hospitality is a very big thing. You have people coming into your house. You want to make sure everything is nice and clean. You go and do the bathroom. You get the cracks and crevices you ain't touched in a long time. Somebody say amen. You go in the kitchen. You start cleaning and throwing things out of the closets that had been there for months, maybe years, because you don't want somebody to see that. In the book, Eating Your Way Through Luke's Gospel, the writer Robert Caris says, in Luke's Gospel, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. Think about that. He is going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. The Gospel of Luke gives attention to Jesus' table ministry. Author Tim Chester says in his book, A Meal with Jesus, as he looks at like six other chapters, he says, How would you complete this sentence? The Son of Man came, and many of us would say the Son of Man came to be not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Some of us would say the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And that's correct. But in the book of Luke, we can add that the Son of Man came eating and drinking. I think his middle name is Art. Some of you will get that and some of you won't. The writer says in the first two are statements of purpose to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's a purpose that Jesus came. The second one, to seek and save the lost. That's another purpose. Amen? But the third statement is a statement of method. He came eating and drinking. His mission strategy was a long meal that stretched into the evening. He didn't eat and run. He ate and talked. As a matter of fact, he probably talked more than he ate. He did evangelism and discipleship around a table with some grilled fish, a loaf of bread, and a pitcher of wine. Christian. I want to make that clear. Christian wine. Amen? So let's look at this passage. When Jesus comes to Bethany, Martha wants to demonstrate her hospitality by welcoming him into the home that she shares with her sister. But then she knows that he's coming, and she gets busy with the task of serving everybody. We're not sure what she was doing, but a good guess is she was cooking. Meanwhile, her sister Mary was at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words. Now, this was pretty unusual because when the people sat at a master's feet, it was usually the men, not the woman. Amen? But Mary sat at his feet. The scripture says, now as it came to pass, they went. So it was Jesus and his disciples. It just wasn't Jesus. Now when they were coming in, they had already been at the Feast of Tabernacles or at Feast of Dedication or some other part. But he entered into Bethany. He could have went anywhere else. When Jesus goes to a certain place, he has a reason why he's going there. Amen? He went to Martha's house because he knew she was kind and courteous. He knew that she knew who he was. He knew that Martha knew and heard much of him. He knew that Martha believed that he was the true Messiah. But she had this sister Mary, who was a disciple of his, just like Martha. Amen? And I want you to always understand that when you hear this phrase, sit at the Lord's feet, there's a meaning behind sitting at his feet. Some of us, if we go back into our early ages and we went to grandma or grandpa's house, we would sit down at their feet. They would tell us stories. They would school us. They would educate us. So when you hear them sitting at the master's feet, he was educating them. He was schooling them. He was telling them. Also, sitting at the Lord's feet showed great affection for that person. It showed great affection for Christ. It showed humble behavior and that she was paying close attention. But why was she paying close attention? Because she wanted to hear his word. Now, I want you to know that when Jesus entered into a house, he don't enter in and sit down and wait to be served. Jesus always enters in preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel. Amen? Because he had a purpose for going there. So as soon as he walked in that house, preaching and teaching. So that means as soon as Jesus came in, Mary left to go sit at his feet. She didn't wait to finish something else. I need to just stop right there to show you that when Jesus is talking, when Jesus is doing something, you got to stop what you're doing. You have to stop what you're doing because the blessing might pass you by. The young man that wanted to bury his father, Jesus told him, let the dead bury the dead. You want to be with me? Go now. Come as you are. Leave those things behind you and let's go. So when Jesus showed up at Martha and Mary's house and he walked in, one got it, the other didn't. Mary, once she heard his voice, with eagerness and diligence, affection and pleasure, she went to sit at his feet. But Martha was drawn off from hearing the word and attending to Christ. She was so concerned with providing for him and those who came with him. She started making the food, ordering the servants around, telling everybody what to do, how everything should be done, and not to overlook anything. She wanted to make sure everything was in proper order. She had a great deal of business upon her head and her hands. There's a lot to do when Jesus is visiting. Amen? I got to make sure everything is right. Another version puts it this way, that Martha labored in preparing many things for him. Martha was busied in preparing food. You ever going to have somebody come over and they might want a little something to eat, but the other person making something to eat is making a feast? They want chicken leg and they making chicken rice, string beans, mac and cheese. They just want a little something to eat. He just wanted a little something to eat. And she started making a feast. And you know, when you start making feast, well, let me tell you about the Boone household. I'm going to talk about my sister and my other sister. When they're in the kitchen, you can't go near there. You couldn't go near there. They tell you where to go. Tell you to go sit down, and you're in the way. Mom, Dad, everybody in the family got out of the kitchen when they were in the kitchen, especially this one right here. But Martha was busy making a feast. Amen? So she's making a feast, and she has her own idea about what she thinks. Amen? Come on, somebody, I'm getting somewhere here. She has her own idea about what she thinks the Lord should have. Amen? Here we go with our thinking again. She has her own idea about what's required. She has her own idea about what's needed. So because she has her own idea and she wants everything perfect, this is what she turns and she does. She addresses the guest and not her sister. She embarrasses her sister, and the guest is embarrassed too. You should be talking to your sister instead of me. Have you ever seen that done? Somebody want to talk to somebody else about you instead of talking about to you, and you right there. She want to show up her sister because she thinks, here we go again. Because what she thinks is what she's doing is best. Jesus is in the house. We got to do the best we can in serving this food. I said that Jesus had just came from a feast, the tabernacles, a dedication feast or some other kind of feast where he had food. So did he really come there for the food? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, he don't always come for what you think he comes for. He comes, he's trying to show you something. He's trying to teach you something. And in Mary and Martha, he's trying to teach us something this morning about what we think. The scripture says, and she came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So here's a solicitation for pity. I'm working so hard. I'm in there busting my shoes, Lord. You don't care, and she don't care. Because you're in here entertaining her, and I'm in there working like a dog. Does she really understand that she's talking to the Lord? She came to him, and she got out of the room. She stood there and said these things. And I'm sure, you know how people with those thinking type of thinking? Those thinking. You understand what I'm saying? With Martha's thinking kind of thinking? Lord, hand on the hip, don't you think that she should be in there helping me out? Don't you even care? Huh? I'm working so hard. I'm working so hard. Sometimes we work so hard for something that really don't mean nothing. She working so hard for something that don't mean that much to Jesus. I'm sure he appreciates the effort. I'm sure that he understands that this is what she does. But he's trying to teach a lesson here. Hallelujah. Sometimes, saints, we could be working so hard at what we're doing that the lesson, the message, what Christ is trying to show us, what God wants to do for us, that we miss it because we're caught up in our own thinking. She was, now you got a guest in the house, a high profile, privileged person. I'm going to talk to him. I'm not even going to belittle myself to talk to Mary about it because she should have known better. Matter of fact, I'll address her later. But Lord, I'm going to put you in your place because you got something to do with this too. And she speaks not only to complain, but she left it all up to her. Now, Mary knew that you were coming. Mary knew we was going to cook this chicken. Mary knew that we were going to cook this turkey. Mary knew we were going to make mac and cheese, and she makes it so well. So why would Mary leave me? You know, Lord, I want you to have the best. But Jesus answered and said unto her by calling her by her name. He didn't call it once. He called it twice. He said, Martha, Martha. Oh, hallelujah. You want to get somebody's attention, you call it twice. You call them something that they know that something's going on. Somebody's in trouble. Something has to change, or you just don't get it. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. By calling her by her name, he expresses an intimacy that he has with Martha. He expresses that he has a friendship with her. He expresses that there's an eagerness and pity in her present situation. Because sometimes we pity somebody and we say, oh, you know, you should know better. Christ is saying, you know, Martha, Martha, you really should know better. You're my friend. You know who I am. If I want to eat, I could just call down hundreds of thousands, millions of chickens. I don't need your chicken. It's funny, but I'm making a point. Thou art troubled about many things. You see, when you're troubled, you're over-anxious. When you're troubled, you're too concerned. When you're troubled, you're more thoughtful and careful than you need to be. He didn't require those preparations. He didn't require all so much attention to detail for the food. So she gave herself all that unnecessary trouble. Have you ever gotten a situation where you gave yourself more trouble than you needed to do? And the first thing that you said, if I knew it was going to be like this, I wouldn't went through all that trouble. I wouldn't have troubled myself to do this for you. But sometimes when we do that, somebody's trying to say, I don't need all of that. I'm not here for that. But in our thinking about what's important, we get frustrated. We get bitter. We get angry. And then we take it out on somebody else. I think I need an amen right now. I think I need to know that people know that what I'm talking about today. Oh, hallelujah. Because Martha got bitter. She was upset. And when you're upset, you say things to people you have no business saying it to. When you're upset, sometimes you have no respect to person. When you're upset, you say things you want to take back later on. It's out there. You can't take it back. Think a little more before we talk. So now here's Jesus. He said, Martha, Martha, you're upset. You're worrying about all of these things. He said, but one more thing is needful. One more thing is needful. I had to give you the text of this message, the one more thing is needed. You see, the scripture said, Mary, what was better, and it was taken, but one more thing is needful, something that nobody can take from you. Mary got the good part. You got the short end of the stick. When you don't do that needful thing, you end up getting the short end of the stick. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Mary's, Martha's distraction. You see, Mary had that good part, which was Christ and the preaching and the word of what he had to say. He was giving Mary, she was getting her portion. She was getting her portion from Christ. She wasn't worried about getting that portion of food. Sometimes we're more worried about things that are not that important. But we need to learn that one more thing is needful to get that word from Christ. God himself is said to be the portion, and he is the good one. He is the good portion that lasts forever and forever and forever. He is the portion that cannot be taken away from you. He is the portion that can't be taken by men or devils. He's that portion. He's that portion that every other aspect of grace can never be lost. He's that portion. He has made a covenant with us. That's a portion, a covenant that cannot be taken away. You got a right as a child of God. As a matter of fact, you got a title. That can't be taken away from you. The church is his bride. We are his sons. We are his daughters. Nobody can take that away from you. Sometimes we have really good parents and people who want to walk up and take your parents from you and say, oh, I'm your other brother, I'm your other sister. That's fine. But you know what? Your birthright can't be taken. They just want to join with you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But your birthright can't be taken from you. And I want you to know that when you're born again in Christ, your birthright can't be taken from you. But if you don't have that one thing, the devil is going to work on it. And you're going to lose it because you want to give it away. Come on, somebody. Martha's distraction leaves no room for the most important aspect of that visit. Paying attention to the host. You want to know something? She paying attention to the guest, but the guest didn't come to be a guest. The guest came to be the host. How can you give something to the giver? How can you give something to the giver? He came to give. Give us life and give it to us more abundantly. Martha was miserable. And I'm going to go ahead and say what Martha has. She has a bad attitude. A bad attitude. You want me to tell you why she had a bad attitude? Because she talked to the Lord that way and didn't respect him. But you want me to tell you another reason why she had a bad attitude? Because her brother was Lazarus. And when he died and they sent for Jesus. Let me tell you what Mary did. She ran to greet him. And those that understood Mary ran with Mary to greet him. But Martha said, if you would have been here days ago. Bang. You would have been here days ago. I sent for you. Why wasn't you here? But Mary ran as soon as she saw him and wept and was humble and wanted to know, Lord, if there's anything. Martha, I wanted you here 2 days ago. He stinks already. I know you ain't going in there, Jesus. It stink. But I ain't going in there with you. That's my brother, but I ain't going. He stinks. Talking about an attitude. Some of us got to change our stinking. Thinking stinking. While she was busy getting ready, she missed out on that one good thing. So I want to say to you this morning, that one good thing is needed. And we got to get back to that one good thing. Because the way that the world got us running around with these schedules, they're worried about our productivity at work. Amen? We're always tempted to say how busy we are. What you doing? Man, I'm busy. I'm so busy, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm so busy, I can't even eat. I'm so busy, I can't pay attention to my children. I'm so busy, I can't pay attention to my wife, to my husband. I can't pay attention to Jesus. I know that we like to talk about how much we accomplish. What'd you do today? Well, I did this, I did that. You ain't do nothing without the grace of God. Not without the grace of God. If your pinky hurt, you're not lifting up those boxes. You're going to have a hard time driving with the other hand. You're going to have a hard time grabbing hold of something. But by the grace of God, sometimes we hit something, we just do like that. Kiss it up to God. And it's better. Come on, y'all remember that kiss it up to God? To make it better. Oh, hallelujah. But that one thing that we need. You know, Martha bent out of shape. Have we ever got bent out of shape? I forgot what Sister Johnson called me, but what she called me? Huh? Call me. Sister John called me something. She called me, those of you who went to the cemetery know that it was a rough situation. It was a little difficult. Amen? And she said, I'm so proud of you. She said, because I know you like the, you're a ruffler or something like that. I said, what you talking about? She said, you know what you are. You're a ruffler. I'm so proud of you. That you didn't let it ruffle you. You didn't let it get to you. And I know that the enemy was really trying to get to me. And she's right, because I can be that way. I know that. But the devil knows it too. So whatever you are, the devil knows it too. Okay? I was born that way. So I got to fight against everything, against my own flesh, my own nature, what I want to do. I'll tell you, when Carolyn got married, I was one of them, one of the guys in line. I don't even know what you call them. Yeah, I was one of them. It was a hot July. I remember July. Hotter than July. It was a hot July. I was only about 16 years old. Mad my sister getting married. Mad. For no reason. It's a hot day. I got this tuxedo on. I don't want to be there. Hot. And three guys pulled up. Two to three cars pulled up right in front of the church where her limousine's supposed to be coming. I just needed something to start something. Just a little something. And I'm up there and I'm screaming from the porch, y'all got to get out of here. And I might not have said it that way. But all of a sudden, they acted like they wanted to fight. So I went there to go have a fight. And I'm fighting about four guys in my white tuxedo with black pants. And all of a sudden, my uncle comes out. I didn't know what I was doing. There's no way I'm supposed to be doing that in a tuxedo. In front of the church, right before the wedding. But God, He sent my uncle out. And when you see him, all he has to do is look. And he looked. But God, my best friend and his cousin came riding down Bushwick Avenue in the car. And he said, oh, Boone's, that they call me Boone. Boone's sister getting married. He looked over there right over. And they pulled the car over and they jumped out. But God. So whatever she called me, I am. So that day, I could have been that. But God. But the enemy will use something against you. Whatever it is that you got. What I got is different than what you got. Amen? That's why we need that one thing. Come on, somebody. Something just don't go right for you. You ready to go off like Martha. Get distracted. But God. But God. And in order to have God there with you, you need that one thing. You need that one thing. You need to be mindful of that one thing. Don't let the enemy distract you. No matter what you're going through, have that one thing. That one thing's the word of God. The word of God. If you read it, he says, read the word. Meditate on it. It'll be in your heart. So when you get in a situation, it's right here. You don't have to say, let me find my Bible. Let me find, it's right here. Jesus says, as worried as Martha was, Jesus says in Luke 12 and 25, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life? Think about that. You worry about all of these things, but he asked the question, by you worrying, can you add a single life, a minute, an hour, days, weeks to your life by worrying? We know that worrying and complaining does no good. All Martha did was worry and complain. And what she was worrying and complaining about wasn't that important. If she worried about whether she could hear the word of God, that would have been something different. That would have been important. She came out and said, Jesus, could you speak a little louder? Because I'm in the kitchen, but I need to hear what you're saying. That would have been more important. That's not a complaint. That's a petition. We need to petition to the Lord for what we need instead of complaining. We always worry we want to make a good impression. Don't worry about it. We're worried about the outside, but not the inside. I know somebody came here this morning and want to make sure that they look good. Not that they left out of here with the spirit of a living God feeling good. We want to talk to somebody else about what somebody did to us instead of talking to the person that did it. I ain't going to worry about what they think. I'm going to tell you what they did. Don't you know all of this worrying, all of this strife and conflict and confusion brings on anxiety, bitterness. Our focus is misled. Jesus wants us to focus on him. When we don't focus on him, we miss opportunities to be blessed. We miss opportunities to get an understanding for what the word is saying. We miss opportunity to understand what Jesus wants for our lives. We want to provide for our families. We want to give our children every opportunity to enrich their lives. Well, let me tell you something. And I don't mean, you know, I always got an ouch moment. Sometimes we worry so much about providing for them and they don't appreciate it. And by the time you almost at the end of your road, it comes to you. I should have let them do it by themselves. They would appreciate it more. Not that you didn't have their back, but sometimes when you put some grease and some muscle into what it is that you really want, You'll do it if you really want it. How many times have you done something for somebody who said they really want something, only to find out that they really don't want it at all? Trying to serve God without being nourished by God is trying to grow fruit from a tree that's not even planted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible often speaks of one thing. Amen. The Bible says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the glory, the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. There's one thing that we need to do. Jesus heard these things in Luke 18 and 22 and says, Jesus heard these things. He said to him, you lack one thing. Come and follow me. You lack one thing. Jesus doesn't need a lot, but he wants you to have that one thing. Paul puts it this way. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting these things that are behind me and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press forward to the goal for the prize, for the upward call of God, Jesus Christ. But one thing that we got to do, put those things in the past. Put those things in the past. Press forward towards the mark that Christ has set for you. Amen. Clearly, this was, Jesus wanted them to sit at his feet. Sitting at his feet means that you're ready to obey and a readiness to do what it is that he wants you to do. To sit at the feet of Jesus implies that you know you have faith in who Jesus is. To sit at the feet of Jesus implies discipleship. To sit at the feet of Jesus implies love. We want all of these things, but we don't sit at the feet of Jesus. I said the feet of Jesus is his word. That one thing, that understanding his word. Realizing that no matter where you go, that one thing can always be with you. Realizing that our little children, when we impart that one thing to them in children's ministry, in Bible study, in the way that we interact with them. The Bible says teach a child when it's young. When they get old, that one thing is the word. Teaching the word, that's one thing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To sit at Jesus' feet means that you find peace through his blood. It means holiness. It means strength for those that sit with Jesus. It means to feed upon him and gird with his strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength when we sit at the feet of Jesus. That no matter what, we got joy. Joy, 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 unspeakable. Joy. That one thing. Oh, hallelujah. People say we need a revival. Amen? Nah, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus and read his word. People say we need unity. Amen? We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. People say we need to win this argument. No, we don't. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. People say we need to reach the world. Hallelujah. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the word. Because when you have something in your heart, nobody's got to motivate you to go do it. He says, go and to make disciples. Reach, go, teach, preach, witness, evangelize. It's in the word. This is the one thing that's needed. Oh, hallelujah. This is that one thing When we have that one thing, we don't need nothing else because everything is in this one thing. We don't need to pay attention to the guest. Oh, hallelujah. We don't need to pay attention to the guest. Hallelujah. The guest is serving us. Let us stand this morning. The guest is serving us this morning. The guest came with gifts. Hallelujah. 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 Now you heard the word this morning. You know that many of us are in need of something.